You can open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You can either look at these next few minutes as a long testimony or a short message. It's up to you. But as I thought about what I wanted to share about what God's done in 2017, this is the passage that he brought me to. Let me read for you 1 Peter 1, just verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. My goal this morning is to produce the same emotion in your heart that Peter had as he wrote this letter. Peter starts this letter. He leads with what he is feeling. Blessed be, or praise be, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He starts with praise. He starts with worship. You see, this could have been his conclusion. He could have started this letter by saying, today I want to give you five reasons that we should praise God, and diplomatically gone through the list, and therefore God should be praised. But instead, he leads with it. His joy and excitement overflow onto the page of Scripture, and he leads with an expression of praise and worship. Blessed be the God and Father. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often do you see people do the opposite in conversations? A lot of times people start with a negative conclusion, or they start with a negative emotion to get your attention. This is just my luck. I can never win. I hate my life. I'm so dumb, right? And usually they're hoping that someone takes the bait and someone asks them about what's going on, so that way then they can elaborate by venting whatever they are feeling inside. But they start with really their conclusion, right? They put a hook out there hoping that someone will grab onto it so that they can vent their frustration. And if we're honest, as Christians, we start a lot of conversations that way, don't we? We start a lot of conversations that way. You go on Facebook and it asks you at the top, what's on your mind? Well, let me tell you what's on my mind, right? I can't stand people. I hate my job. I want new kids. We're just ready to unload on what's going on. And I just want to encourage you, what if we took the opposite approach? What if we started the new year with praise? What if we started conversations with praise? What if we used our social media accounts as a platform for praise? When people ask you how are you doing, what an impression would it make if we looked at that as an opportunity to say, man, God has just been so good to me. I'm so blessed. I have so much to be thankful for. I want to encourage you as we end 2017 to start with praise, to follow the lead of Peter here. And some of you might be thinking, but I don't feel that way. I don't feel like praising very often. Well, Peter gives us a bunch of reasons that you could have on your mind if you're looking for a few. Let me go through these with you. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. In 2018, you can praise God for his mercy. As I thought personally about this year and what I wanted to praise God for this morning, one word that kept coming to my mind was this: mercy. Because preaching regularly has been a very humbling experience for me, because I'm constantly confronted in Scripture with what I deserve. As I talked about on Christmas Eve last week, I deserve to be separated from God. I deserve God's absence. I'm constantly confronted with who I should be or what I should be doing as a follower of Jesus that I'm not doing yet, or that I am not yet. And I just want to say, praise God for His mercy. Praise God that He doesn't give me what I deserve. Praise God that He doesn't always give us what we ask for. Parents, I wonder if one of your go-to lines with your kids is, well, you're asking for it. I'm sorry that happened, but you were asking to get hurt. You were asking for it. And as I think about that, I realize how often God could use that with us. You're asking for it. I tried to tell you, but you were asking for it. He could use that with me over and over again, and instead He shows me His mercy over and over and over again. And when I feel like I've used up His mercy for the day, I have the promise that His mercies are new every morning. One of my son's favorite songs on one of his kids' CDs is, "I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever." And I was listening to him singing along with that in the car the other day, and I just started thinking to myself, man, I pray that that is true. I pray that that is true. I pray that my son would sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I pray that I would have a heart to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I pray that our church will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Has God been merciful to you? Then praise God for His mercy. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. We can praise God for our new life. This is what the whole passage centers around. Peter's main point is that believers have been born again. We have new life in Christ. And I just want to remind you that this is nothing that we could do ourselves. You and I did not work for this. We don't earn our way to a new life. We didn't even start the process. Peter says He caused us to be born again. The cause of our new life is God. Before the foundation of the world, He had His redemption plan in place. He revealed Himself to us through creation and through His Word, and then finally through the incarnation of Jesus. He came near to us to be our Emmanuel when we were far from Him. He lived the perfect life that we failed to live. He died the death that we deserve to die on the cross. He took the punishment for our sins. He paid our debt. He gave my blind eyes sight to see His love and His grace. And He gives us a new life. He is the cause. And so we can praise God. We can praise God for our new life. We can praise God for our new life. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 2018, you can praise God that Jesus is alive. You can praise God that Jesus is alive. We don't have a dead hope. We have a certain hope. We have a secure hope. We have a living hope because Jesus is alive. Our new life is possible because Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. And in the craziness of life, in the days that are hard, the days that are frustrating, the days that you feel like you failed as a parent, the days that you feel like your boss has it out for you at work, the days that you and your spouse can't get on the same page, maybe you should remind yourself, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He is on the throne. And even in the midst of chaos and calamity of life, I can praise God because I know that Jesus is alive. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. On days that our uncertain, temporary, earthly life is difficult, we can praise God for our eternal inheritance. Because I haven't been promised earthly riches. We haven't been promised business success. We haven't been promised fair treatment. It's entirely possible that being a Christian will mean trials and difficulty and sacrifice. The United States of America might become less and less kind to Christians. The laws of the land might not reflect our biblical values. You might feel more and more like the stranger, pilgrim, and alien that the Bible says that you are while we are on this earth. But you can have all of this world as long as I can have Jesus, because I have an inheritance that is secure. And I love the three words that he uses to describe it. Our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Maybe you learned this verse as it will never perish, spoil, or fade. The reason that our inheritance will never perish, spoil, or fade is because those are all earthly problems. And our inheritance is in heaven, where we have the opportunity to dwell with and to fully know Jesus. And I love, by the way, that while an earthly inheritance is given on the basis of someone dying, our eternal inheritance is on the basis of Jesus being alive. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You can praise God for your eternal inheritance, and you can praise Him for keeping that inheritance for us. Just like an earthly father is the one who keeps valuables for his family members to benefit from in an earthly inheritance, our heavenly Father is the one responsible to keep our eternal inheritance for us. So I don't have to live with the pressure of not blowing something when I shouldn't, of losing it all before I get there. I can praise God that our inheritance is up to Him and it's not up to me. Look at what it says in verse 5. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded, we're not the ones doing it, it's Him, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The truth of Christianity is this: if I had nothing in this earthly life, I would still have so much more than I deserve, because I have an eternity with Jesus. And so any earthly blessings that I experience are simply a bonus to what I'm going to be experiencing forever. And I must say this, I have a lot of bonus blessings too. If all I had was my eternal blessings, I would have enough, but I've been given so much more than that. I feel like I've been overwhelmed with God's bonus blessings this year. He's provided Becca and I with the finances to purchase a home that we love. We were praying that it would be nearby the church, and it's right down the road, and we're just so thankful for how God has provided for us. He has provided us with this church family, and I'm so thankful for the love that you show me and Becca and DeAndre. I'm so thankful for all the ways that so many of you are a blessing to us. I'm so humbled by your generosity. I'm so thankful for your encouragement. And I praise God for this wonderful community of believers. I praise God for how He's brought us through a year of transition. For all of you that have taken on added responsibilities while we've been short-staffed, I'm so thankful for our youth leaders who've been willing to do more. I'm so thankful for our elders and how they've been great to work with through this transition. I'm so thankful for your faithfulness in prayer, and as Pastor Doug mentioned earlier, in giving. I'm just blown away by the financial support that this church has received, and I'm so excited for John and Anna Heisterkamp to get here this week, because I'm looking forward to John finding out what a great place this is to be a pastor. This is a great place to be a pastor. And all that I need is in heaven, but God has given me so much more than that on this earth. And I want you to know that the people that make up this church are a major part of the earthly blessings that me and my family have experienced. And so as we finish 2017, I just want to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for His mercy. Praise God for new life. Praise God that Jesus is alive. Praise God for our eternal inheritance that He keeps for us. And praise God for all the bonus earthly blessings that He has so generously given us. My encouragement to you as a church today is that we would end 2017 and start 2018 the same way, with praise. That we would take opportunities today, take opportunities this week, take opportunities this year to start conversations with praise. To look for ways to put out little hooks of blessings for people to grab on and hear what God has done in our lives, because we have been given so much more than we deserve. I pray that in 2018, you will continue to find out the greatness of the loving heart of our God. I'm going to pray for us, and Allie's going to sing about that as the worship team comes. God, thank you so much for what you have done. Thank you so much for how you have richly blessed us beyond what we deserve. God, thank you that if in 2018 we lose everything on this earth, we would still have more than we need because of our eternal inheritance. So I pray that your praise would always be on our lips, that we would start conversations, that we would start social media posts, that we would start text messages with, I just have to praise God for what you have done. May we find out how great your loving heart is this year. In Jesus' name, amen.